Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
And 2017 is going to be the end of an era in air travel. Both United and Delta Airlines are retiring Boeing 747s from their fleets this year, which means there will be no more North American passenger airlines operating the 747, also known as the Queen of the Skies. It's been in operation since 1970. Joining us now via Skype is Clive Irving, who is the aviation correspondent for The Daily Beast and author of the book Wide Body, The Triumph of the 747. Clive, welcome back.
It's nice to be here.
So why are these airlines retiring their 747s?
Well, it's 47 years since United's retiring theirs at the end of this year. It's 47 years it's been flying, which is a long, long time for an airplane. And this all goes down to one thing, that when an airline looks at an airplane now, when they look at buying a new airplane, they're not actually looking at an airplane, they're looking at a business plan, business model, actually. They want the most efficient combination of several things. They want a set number of passengers to go a set distance. And that's a fairly demanding equation these days. So basically, Boeing have been very smart, and they've made their own plane obsolescent, if not obsolete, by producing a version of the slightly smaller 777, the Boeing 777, that's far more fuel efficient over virtually the same distances as a 747, carries slightly fewer people. The 777 being a much more modern plane, therefore it's much more fuel efficient. So the numbers make a lot of sense.
So it's a more fuel efficient plane. Could they have made a new version, though, of the 747 that would be more fuel efficient and still have that little, iconic second floor hump in the front of the plane?
Yeah, isn't that a wonderful part of the character? Yeah. The plane has a very identifiable and recognizable profile. Well, they did actually make a later version called the 747-8, which was produced 5 or 6 years ago. They hoped that they could compete with their own 777, and it turned out that they couldn't. So that latest version of the 747 is going to end up as a cargo carrier, basically. That's what it's being sold as, and not as a passenger plane. It's all about size. You've got three sizes of planes. You've got the 777 and the Airbus A350, which are long-haul planes carrying around 400 people, going up to, say, 6,000 or 7,000 miles in distance. Then below them, you've got another category, which is by far the largest category, which is the single aisle, because the ones I've just mentioned are all wide bodies. You go down to 185 to 200 people, which is split between Airbus with the A320 and 321 and Boeing with the 737. And I'll tell you something fascinating about the 737 in a minute. And then below that, you've got a category which Boeing and Airbus, which is basically a duopoly, planes with 108 to 130 seats. Now, the fascinating thing about the 737, which is the largest money spinner Boeing has ever made, was it was designed by the same people at the same time as the 747 in the late 1960s. And it turned out to be an amazing cash cow. They keep adapting it, making it slightly larger, putting more efficient engines on it. So you've got a contrast between one plane, which is the 747, which is absolutely a game changer in long-haul international flying, and another one which is sort of much more modest and unsung, which is, in fact, Boeing's biggest money spinner.
Well, you also have the 747 as the plane for Air Force One. This is the plane that the president flies on. What was so special about it that it became the gold standard, at least for the president of the United States?
Well, it became the gold standard for everybody, really, in terms of safety and comfort. It's not exaggerating to say that the 747 transformed the whole idea of flying around the world, because when it was introduced, it was a third more fuel efficient than what had gone before it. And it was the first plane really to democratize. It introduced something entirely new to the human experience, which was the economic availability of international air travel to large numbers of people. So in that sense, it's been an enormous force for good, for people experiencing other countries and other cultures. It was a machine for doing that. And it can't be overestimated, the effect that plane had. And then, as you said, it was a kind of, almost had a personality of its own when it nosed towards the airport gate, and you saw that great bulbous upper deck there. Actually, obviously, I've written a book about it, so I know it quite intimately. I still feel when I go aboard it that it's very special. There's nothing else quite like it. Airbus tried to get into this market with the Super Jumbo, the A380, which is larger than a 747.
And has a second floor that goes all the way from the front to the back.
That's right, yes. But that's the sort of category that Boeing agonized greatly over whether they should come ahead and produce a competitor to that, a new, larger version of the 747, and quite wisely decided not to, because that's a very limited category. 544 passengers flying between hubs, basically, between city hubs. The others are much more adaptable, much more flexible. They're not confined between capital cities anymore. They fly what's called point-to-point, which is any major city in any country. For example, one of the longest flights that's now going to be possible is Boston to Shanghai on an Airbus A350. That's a pretty long flight for a nonstop, about 16 or 17 hours. A 747 could never get near those numbers.
Well, and we heard from the United Airlines president, Scott Kirby, that the airline plans a retirement celebration for the 747. We should say that in other countries, you actually see a lot of 747s, and probably in other parts of the world, we still will for some time.
Yeah, I think until about 2020, British Airways is still flying them across the Atlantic because they've amortized the cost of them. So it's quite economic for them to do that. They use them as a kind of bus shuttle across the pond. And you will, throughout Europe and Asia, you'll still see them. But they will, because no airline can afford to persist flying a plane that's not as economical to operate as the newer planes are. There aren't any sentimental reasons for keep flying a 747. It's just that the people who still have them want to get the maximum use out of them before they get rid of them.
What's going to be the thing you'll miss most about the 747?
Ah, that's a very good question. I think just the feel of its personality. It's so rock solid and stable. When it comes into land, for example, it looks as though it's flying about 50 miles an hour because it's so big, it's actually flying 150 miles an hour. And I just think there are very few machines these days, cars or planes, that you can develop a personal attachment to. And I still think it's possible to do that with the 747.
That's Clive Irving, aviation correspondent for The Daily Beast and author of the book Wide Body, The Triumph of the 747. Clive, thanks so much for joining us.
You're welcome.